Second John. Did you catch the beginning of Second John as David read it? The elder to the chosen lady. The lady is almost certainly a symbolic title for the congregation that he's talking to. The church being a lady, and her children would be the members of that congregation. To the elder, John the elder, to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth. Not only I, but also all who know the truth. For the sake of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth. You counting? And in love. I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment from the Father. And then he goes on to talk about the new commandment, and then he goes on to talk about deceivers. What's a deceiver? Somebody who isn't dealing with the truth. The opposite of truth. Lie, deception, hidden, either misrepresented things or hidden things. Somebody who's not open and not honest and not handling the truth. You have the truth from God. It's a very exciting thing to have that confidence and know that we have truth, that we walk in truth, he says, that we love in truth, that the truth lives in us. We know it, we love in it, it lives in us, we walk in it, and we have the blessings from God in truth. Those 5 points are made in that beginning part of 2 John. Truth, 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 truth. Truth. Now, this lesson isn't going to be about evolution. But have you ever heard that evolution, the theory of organic evolution, the soup to say Homo sapiens, transition of matter from the Big Bang all the way through life, the creation of life, etc., etc., that's where reason is. That science has a corner on logic and reason and evidences. And that faith, that Christian faith, well, that's just so much fancy. That doesn't have reason at its heart. That doesn't have facts or truth at its core. That it's just something you gotta believe in. You know, it's not based on evidence, and it's certainly not based on sound reasoning. That science and I shouldn't say science, but that the theory of evolution, because I have a lot of respect for science, and scientists and people researching and looking at God's creation. That science has some, that evolution, the theory of organic evolution, has some corner on reason and truth, and that Christianity sort of abandons reason. You heard that argument? You run into that kind of accusation? Come on, think for yourselves, would you? People, if you used reason, you wouldn't be coming to these conclusions, these odd conclusions that the Bible gives you. And you trust this book? Do you know how old it is? And how many you heard those things. You've heard those things. I listened to a lesson, not last weekend, but this past week, a video lesson, making the exact opposite conclusion, and I won't be going there either, but that in fact the theory of evolution is unscientific. Try that one on for size. It's a good lesson. It's an interesting lesson. But I wanted to talk today about truth and reason. About truth and reason. Would you look at 2 Peter? It's not very far away, just a couple of books away. Look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. The Bible is never presents itself as some sort of fanciful story. The Bible never presents itself as some sort of a document that doesn't need history and doesn't need real events and doesn't need real people. Other religions do that sort of thing. They give you ideas of philosophy, how to approach this concept and how to consider yourself in this way. And maybe you can find yourself by looking inward, and maybe you can care for people because that's important. Whereas Christianity and Judaism, upon which Christianity is built, are faiths of facts, of history, of real people in real places at real times. And Peter understands, the Holy Spirit through these men gives us this reassurance that what we're reading about is not something they just made up. It's not something they just created. Peter understands that when you read these magnificent gifts of God, when you read about the coming and the resurrection of Christ, the salvation of our souls in him, that you can challenge that. God is very deliberate about being unseen. The Bible is very clear that no one has ever seen God. The Bible is very open about the fact that Christ rose from the dead. He lived for 40 days on this earth, and he returned to heaven. And those who live after that, meaning us, we don't get to see the resurrected Christ. The Bible understands, and the writers understand those things, and give us these facts within that understanding. And so when John writes, I want you to know the truth. I want you to walk in the truth. You love in the truth. You're blessed in the truth. The truth is living in you. And Peter writes and says, we didn't make up these stories. These aren't clever stories. These are stories based on fact. The truth. I had a young boy living in my house a few years ago who would say, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you three. He was three. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you three. And at a certain level, I guess he was right. But that's not quite what Jesus said. Jesus said in John 8, verse 32, and you will know the truth, you know it, and the truth will make you free. Just sounds like three to a three-year-old. And to a three-year-old, it sort of keeps the world revolving around him, which is kind of where some of us are comfortable. What is truth? Pilate asked the question of Christ and didn't stay around for the answer. What is truth? That's a good thing to answer to yourself. You think you can do it? What truth is? Truth is that which corresponds to reality. And, there's an and there. That which corresponds to reality. There's a reality. You could go around this room and count how many people are here. Just start 1, 2, 3, 4, etc. And when you finish, unless somebody is hiding under the chairs or under this platform, or some, you could hide somebody in here if you had to. But in general, when you finish that count, you count the pregnant ladies twice? I guess so. When you finish that count, there would be a true number about how many people are in this room. It would be same with the cubic feet in this room, or the number of light bulbs in this room, or the money in our bank accounts, or whatever else you wanted to establish. That that truth can be known. It is knowable. Not all truth are you're going to get to in your life. We'll never find out how many stars are in the universe. It's somewhere close, I'm told, to the number of grains of sand on all the beaches of all the seas on this planet. You can try that count if you want to. But there is a number. There is a number. And that is included in truth. There is such a thing as truth. And truth can be knowable. Truth is exclusive. That's not the and, by the way. Truth is exclusive. You see, either Jesus is the Son of God, or he is not the Son of God. Either Jesus rose from the dead, as the Bible says, or he didn't rise from the dead, as the Quran says. One says he did, one says he didn't. And the idea that two different contradictory statements can be true to the people who want to believe them is ridiculous. It's either a fact or it isn't. Truth is, by its definition, exclusive. As soon as you establish... Oh, somebody just walked out of the room. As soon as you establish how many people are in this room... Jerry, no, don't leave. As soon as you establish how many people are in this room, that's a true statement. And all other numbers, even though there's an infinite number of numbers out there, all other numbers are incorrect, except that Jerry just left and we'd have to adjust for him. But you get the point. Truth is by definition exclusive. Truth is by definition exclusive. The and. So, truth is that which corresponds to reality and is logically consistent. Is logically consistent. You could bring the magician into this idea. Somebody who's got sleight of hand and could make a, you know, have a bowl in front of you and put the cover down and pop the bowl off and a pigeon comes out. You say, wow, that guy just created a pigeon up on the stage there, just like that. That's not logically consistent. Your senses may have given you that information, but you know that there's a sleight of hand going on there. The pigeon was up under the cover, or he hatched an egg, or something he did up there in the pigeon. If I told you I drove here and it took me from my house 6+ miles away, it took me 23 seconds to get from my house to here, I could have even had the stopwatch and show it to you, but that's not logically consistent. Not without a trail of traffic tickets hanging out of my back pocket. And besides that, there's hardly any spacecraft or ship. Well, there's probably something that man made going that fast. But not that would keep me alive. That's not logically consistent. So truth is that which corresponds to reality and is logically consistent. And that kind of idea becomes important when you're looking at, did Napoleon live? When you're looking at truths of things you won't see, when you read the diary of the man named Napoleon, when you read of the memoirs of the officers who served under him, when you read the historians of the countries that fought against him, when you read the tales of the people who lived in the towns that he conquered or lived in, you come to a certain conclusion. Here's a description of a man. Is it logically consistent? And you go, yeah, okay, I got you. Napoleon was a man who lived and conquered part of Europe and created his own small empire. Big empire when you consider all of Europe. And the Bible takes us very carefully in these directions. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Scripture asks us to reason. Scripture asks us, no, it commands us to know the truth, to handle the truth, to obey the truth. The Bible isn't something that throws out philosophical ideas and asks us to just trust its wild information. It gives us evidence. It gives us reason. It gives us logic. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, that you may be filled with the knowledge of all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all aspects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us to share in the inheritance in the saints of light. So if you end that, there's a wonderful inheritance. You've been written into a will. It's exciting. I've only been in one reading of a will. I've only been in one place where a guy sat across the table and opened up a will and read through the will and informed me of where my place was in the will when my mother passed away. But there's an unknown quality to it. What is in that document? What does it have to do with me? Where do I fit into it? There's an inheritance that God has for us. And by the statement of the gospel, an awesome inheritance. An incredible, priceless inheritance. But that's not an inheritance based on pie in the sky thinking. It's an inheritance. Go back. He wants us filled with knowledge, filled with understanding, and with wisdom. He wants us to increase in the knowledge of God. All of that is to help our walk. All of that is to help our joy. Our joy. If you're not sure about where you're standing, how much joy are you going to have? If you're not sure about your relationship with the Creator of the universe, how much joy are you going to have? If you're not sure about His Son being on this earth or being resurrected on the cross, or whether or not the concept of His creation is true or false, if you're not sure of that, where's your joy? Doesn't have much to stand on. We're given knowledge and understanding and wisdom as a basis for all our joy. Let me get those three words just for a second. Knowledge, you've heard. We've talked about it many times. Gnosis. It's functional information. Knowledge would be how many people are in this room. A piece of truth. A piece of fact. That's knowledge. Understanding is the word dianeo. Lauren wasn't here. Dianoi, which is the use of the mind. It actually means to go from side to side. Okay? From side to side with your mind and your thoughts. Okay? There's 186 people in the room. What does that mean? 10 o'clock in the morning, 186 people all came to hear and to participate in one particular thing. Well, they're either there for unity or they're there to state their opinion. Some might be there because they disagree and they just want to see what's going on. That's considering it. There's an understanding of what do these 180, I don't have any, no idea what you, how many are in here, I'm guessing. What are these 186 people doing? There's an understanding, and the more information you get, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, the greater the understanding is. Understanding isn't just knowledge, it's beyond that. It's considering things from different angles, from side to side, is the Greek word. And the third word is wisdom, Sophia. Sophia. It's the word that we get philosophy, philosophy, which means the love of wisdom. Philosophy is the love of wisdom. It's the word we get, sophomore. Soph, meaning wisdom. More, from the root word of moron. True statement. A sophomore, in its Greek root, is a wise fool. No accusations toward any 10th graders around here or second-year college students. You can see where the word comes from, right? A freshman, quote, doesn't know anything, right? Well, a sophomore has been trained for a year, so he thinks he knows something. But he still doesn't know anything, right? So that's where it comes from, this half-educated individual that's down the road enough that they got some learning under them, but they better slow down because they really don't. That's where wise fool comes from. Anyway, or sophistication. Sophistication, the art of using wisdom. Sophia means clarity. Wisdom, in its Greek origin, means comes from the word meaning clarity, to be clear. So you have 186 people in the room. There's an understanding of what these people are doing there and why they're there. And as you consider that, you go, oh, okay. There's a unity we want to build here. There's an encouragement we want to get to here. There's directions and information given to us by our Holy Father and by the Holy Spirit in Scripture on what to do as we meet together. That's the application of clarity on top of the understanding, on top of the knowledge. And almost everything is that way. There's knowledge, there's understanding, and then there's wisdom. And they build that way. But all of it is based on truth. Truth is that which corresponds to reality and is logically consistent. Logically consistent. In Isaiah 1:18, Isaiah is told by God, "Come and let us reason together." It's one of the few places in the scriptures that the word reason is used. Almost always, wisdom is given to us rather than reason. The reasoning we get from the Bible is more commonly in things like Acts 14. Acts 14, verse 12. Acts 14, verse 12. "And they began calling Barnabas Zeus and Paul Hermes." Remember this riot when the crowd rushed upon Paul and Barnabas and lifted them up and called them the gods when they saw the miracle that was possible at their hands? They called Paul Hermes because he was the chief speaker. Acts 14, verse 13. "The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gate and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowds. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their robes and rushed out into the crowd, crying out, 'Men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of the same nature as you, and preach the gospel to you, that you should turn from these vain things to a living God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In the generations gone by, he permitted all nations to go their own ways, and yet he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good and gave rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness, even saying these things, they had difficulty restraining the crowd from offering sacrifices to them." That's mostly the place we get the examples of wisdom and get the idea of reason in the Bible. That's the way God deals with us. Our Heavenly Father didn't freeze the crowd. He didn't create a lightning storm and drive a lightning bolt into the middle of the courtyard. Paul had to stand up and shout over the crowd, "No, this is an empty faith. Let me show you a living God." And then he starts with the creation. God made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. This same God sends the rain. Your crops come from him. Your food and gladness come from him. He uses logic and reason. I'm just a man. You want to pinch me? You want to run me through with a sword and see me bleed? I'm just a man like you. Evidence. Reason. truth. It's exciting. It's very exciting that we are never asked in Scripture to turn off our minds. We are told to think things through, to be people of logic, people of truth, people of reason, to be confident of these things. Romans 1 verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen and being understood through what has been made, so that men are without excuse. God's invisible attributes are obvious because of what you see, using the logic that nothing comes from nothing. You want to talk about a lack of reason? Talk about accepting the concept that everything in the universe came from nothing. Try that on for size. That once there was nothing, no laws, no electrons, no gamma rays, nothing. And then we have the entire universe organized and expanding as it is. The law of rationality asks us to draw conclusions when warranted by evidence. You believe that there was a man named Napoleon? You can go back and read through the evidence and come up to a conclusion. You believe there was a civil war in this country? You can go dig in the battlefields or near the battlefields of those wars. We used to find the buckles and the bullets in our front yard living near Petersburg, Virginia, when we'd plant trees or a garden. You can go find the evidences and believe that we had a nation-splitting conflict. And as you get closer, like these people are, as you get closer, tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day. Do you believe a man named Martin Luther King lived and taught as he did? Well, sure, I've seen the videos. Probably none of us saw the man, although we're young enough or old enough to have done that. All videos can be doctored. You don't have to go very far before you find somebody who walked with him, who heard him, who talked with him, and was inspired by him. See, as you get closer, like these men were, when they say, we're not teaching you cleverly devised tales, we're teaching you what we are eyewitnesses of. The Bible asks us to look at the evidence and come up with reasoned conclusions. The heavens declare the glory of God, says Psalm 19, verse 1. Psalm 100, verse 3 says, know that the Lord himself, the word there is Jehovah, know that Jehovah himself is God, and it is he who made us, and not we ourselves. You see, if you're going to believe in the alternate conclusion that God created all things, you have to believe that the universe created everything. In other words, that we made ourselves. Nothing can make itself. No universe, no life, nothing makes itself. The logic, the reason, the evidence is in faith. We'll end our lesson with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Turn there, please. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It is very sad to hear faith misrepresented, that somehow faith is unreasoned, that somehow faith is ignoring the facts. Faith itself is identifying the facts and applying logic and reason to what can be known. There's a sad quotation from a popular 1947 movie, Miracle on 34th Street. Cute movie, usually shown around Christmas time, and there's a quotation in there that gets bounced around. Faith is believing when common sense tells you not to. And a lot of people have that concept of what faith is. Faith is believing when common sense tells you not to. That is absolutely never what God asks us to have in faith. He is deliberate that we need to be people who need faith, who use faith. He will not show himself physically to us. He shows himself evidentially to us. The scriptures are very deliberate that we have an invisible God with invisible qualities. But he's very clear that the evidence is strong and brings you to the right conclusion. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Those are things you can have confidence in. Assurance, when you assure somebody of something, I assure you, fill in the blank. I know this situation. I was there this morning. I assure you that Jim Wise was together with me at church assembly this morning. It's giving somebody confidence in that piece of information. I know it as a fact. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction. Conviction is a deep-seated confidence. Conviction is a knowledge that's more than just information. It's a knowledge that's settled in, that you're sure of. That's what's the basis of our faith. Truth. Clear, specific, logical, convicting truth. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The conviction of things not seen. Let's be people of joy. Let's be people of confidence. Let's be people who bring the gospel to our friends and neighbors with that joy and with that confidence that we can bring that kind of confident faith into other people's lives. If there's any here today who have not been baptized into Christ, or if you have any other need that you could use help with, that we can help you with as a congregation, please come forward and let us know about it while we stand and sing.